Welcome into Husker Max today, February 17th, 2025. I'm Caleb Henry. That is Nick Hanley. A full show coming up as we do every Monday and Thursday from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Time. Even if you're not in Central Time listening or you're not in Central Time on this broadcast. Nick Hanley live from Arizona because the baseball team has been down there all weekend. We will obviously talk some baseball. As a matter of fact, chat with one of his radio partners, Ben McLaughlin, later on in the show. Of course, we will get to Nebraska men's basketball's massive comeback win, 20 points down in Evanston yesterday. But we do start with really the news that dominated the weekend. As soon as anybody started to kind of get wind of it late Friday night, and then, of course, the announcement as it came out Saturday morning, the passing of, I know for you guys, a very dear friend. I definitely say a friend for the years that I got to know him in the capacities that I did, and really a friend to everyone in Husker Nation, in Greg Sharp, at the age of 61, passed away Friday. We got that announcement from his family, from the athletic department. And I know a lot of people have sent out their thoughts, their prayers to Amy and the whole family, and about a year of fighting pancreatic cancer. And ultimately, Greg Sharp does pass on Friday. For a lot of folks in Lincoln, getting that news, pretty devastating. You guys, though, Nick, had just finished up a ball game. The season opener on Friday for Husker baseball, falling to UC Irvine, but ultimately that doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things at all. You guys get the news. Take us through really the emotions for you, and then, of course, I want to talk about some of your fondest memories of Greg.
Yeah, it was always on our minds, and we knew that we could unfortunately get that dreaded news at any moment. And Friday provided a distraction from that. I mean, from the time we were here, and I know Ben had a chance to see him before he left, and that was the goal. And unfortunately, there were the days that I was going to try to get out there. He was too sick. But I think there were especially a lot of people, the Husker Radio Network, that has been family for so long, that extended family, that had a chance to at least see him one last time. I know that provided some closure. But yeah, I mean, we had that distraction on Friday, and you know how the game went. It didn't go great. And so we're in the bus, and we're just kind of thinking about that. And then we had gotten the word on the bus ride home. And of course we were in traffic. The only time we were in traffic this entire weekend. And so it felt that bus ride just felt like it was for like 2 hours. I mean, you're thinking about it. I'm sitting next to my good friend Ben, and I know he's just trying to hold it together. That the team hadn't found out yet. Really, I think the only ones who knew at that moment were myself and Ben and Jared, our SID, and Ben went and told Will, in private. So no one really knew. We tried to keep it together, and then we just. We wept, we shared stories. We just kind of sat in my room and talked all night. And the way, which was kind of fitting, because this is what we would typically do after a baseball game, whether it was Ben and myself on the road or Greg and myself on the road, we would call the other one, and whether it was a good game or a bad game, we would talk about it. We would have some jokes about the broadcast if we picked up on something, and then then whoever was not on the trip would ask, okay, where are you guys going to eat? And so there was always that routine, and that was something we were hoping that he'd be well enough during this trip. And I remember the last time I talked to him a week ago, I said, we're still planning on calling you on Friday, win or lose, and go over the game and tell you where we're going to go. And, and he loved this trip too. He loved coming out to Arizona as well. So, that Thursday evening, where not a lot of people knew, obviously we had told our wives, and, that was what we were dealing with that night. And then, with the time change here, just trying to sleep as much as you can. And I'd finally gotten some sleep, and I woke up, and that's when I knew it had been made official, because, obviously some countless texts and messages on social media, And I think that was the toughest. There was probably a good 2-3 hours in the morning, and you know, Ben can tell you the same thing, where you're getting those messages, you're getting those heartfelt wishes from so many people. From, you know, one of the first ones I saw was from you, but you know, other texts from friends as well. But then you go to social media and you see the outpouring of support to the Sharp family, his impact on everything. I mean, it was just you couldn't go anywhere in the state of Nebraska and not somehow be impacted by Greg Sharp. I think maybe one of the best ways to describe it, and it was put out by the social media teams, who did a phenomenal job of, I think, describing his impact of, he was our soundtrack in so many ways when it came to the way that we consume Husker athletics. And especially with, obviously, the following of football, it goes without saying, but baseball's got a strong following as well. And, you know, he was that soundtrack. And so Ben and I had actually, we had planned to golf on Saturday. And obviously Friday night we were thinking, well, we don't want to do that. I guess all this happened Friday. I'm messed up on my days. Friday night is when obviously we found out after the game. Yeah. And yeah, Saturday morning we're like, okay, well, we had a night game. And we were like, well, we're just not going to be able to sit around here. It's just going to eat at us. It's going to be, then we got to do a game. So we needed something to just get away from it all for a moment, to have that distraction, to maybe refocus on, try to call as good of a game as we could under the circumstances. And so we did that. And because we knew that's what he'd want us to do. He'd want us to, anytime we had downtime, he wanted to enjoy that time and do things. And he would have wanted us to do that too. So we did somehow get 18 in. It was a good 4-hour distraction, and then we got back, and it was just, you know, it's back to that reality. And I know we'll talk to him later, but for Ben, you know, he was a big brother, a father figure when it came to this broadcasting business. But I mean, he was as close of a friend as I know Ben has had. So what I was feeling, and what a lot of us are feeling that have had this relationship, I know it's double for Ben. And, you know, I just trying to be by his side during this whole thing too. While also, you know, mourning Greg, is one of those things that I knew was going to be very important. And then came the broadcast. I don't know if we knew we wanted it to be, we're going to write things down. We weren't going to say, okay, I'm going to talk for this long, then you talk, then I'll talk. You know, nothing was scripted. Mm-hmm. We were in the booth. We knew that being in the booth was, it would come to us. And we wanted that to be as genuine and as authentic as possible, because we needed that as much as I'm sure Nebraska fans wanted to hear baseball and they wanted to celebrate him, excuse me, through a baseball broadcast. We just wanted to be able to share our emotions as well. And mm-hmm. as hard as that was, it helped a lot. It really did. And so we got through the game. The way the game ended was fantastic. Ben absolutely nailed the call. It was, you know, and then everything in the game as well. And Tucker Timmerman, and
jeez,
looked like he was in a heavyweight fight with Mike Tyson. And I mean, it was just, I can't imagine, Caleb, if that game didn't go the way it did, with what we were also thinking of that night and going through, everything about it was just, it was kismet when it came to the way that game played out. It was the result, the way the emotion of that game, the drama in that game, the way that Nebraska took the lead but was trying to hold off Vanderbilt, like just that drama of baseball, it had to be that way. But more than anything, it had to be a Nebraska win. And boy, again, we got back to the hotel room, we shared a few tears but also some laughs in his memory. Our Gregisms are fantastic. Again, it always comes back to the road stories, and you know, we did more of that. And the great thing was Saturday night, I think we all finally got a little bit of sleep. We got through what we knew would be a very raw, emotional day. That baseball team and Will Bolt and the parents that have made it out here and the fans that we've seen also made that moment very special. They've been tremendous. And, you know, yesterday it had a little bit more sense of normalcy, as much as you can with the passing of an absolute legend.
That's one of the things about the sport of baseball, is that give it 2 days and there'll always be another game. And in this case, it was give it 12 hours and there'll be another game. We will have that final call along with the video from MLB Network that the Nebraska Athletic Creatives have always done a tremendous job, but especially with putting together clips from the end of that game, Ben's call with it. There are a few people that you'll meet in life, Nick, that have this unique ability that the first time you meet them, you feel like you're already old friends. Some of that being with Greg is that we all kind of knew him. Like for a lot of us, especially that are younger, because he started jumping on broadcast in 2007 here, mm-hmm. you know, and taking over in 2008. And for me, like I was in high school still. So growing up and in hitting those formative adult years of going, this is who you're listening to. And I know for a lot of people listening on the radio for football games, especially on Saturdays in the fall, in the tractor harvest season, those types of things. But baseball is one of those sports that it is best consumed via the radio. That's just, nothing's going to change on that. And I love that we can watch so much more, but it is best consumed on the radio. And Greg Sharp was that soundtrack. And because we had that relationship, that radio relationship of listening to his voice, even if he met us just once, he made us feel like we were old friends. And if you did get the tremendous luck in life to get to know him, and as I put in my write-up Saturday morning, which is one of the hardest stories I've ever had to write, mm-hmm. if you were lucky enough to have only known him through the radio, you were extremely fortunate. For some of us who got to spend time with him and hear him laugh, and all of those things that made Greg Sharp so unique, so warm, so loving, he will be deeply missed, not just for what he brought over the radio, but for what he brought to each of our individual lives.
It's very well said. It's true. And there's a good friend of mine, and I'll say his name because he always shoots me that text too, Matt Kuchera, and he and his father would be during harvest season. You know, they would be in the combine, and I know Matt unfortunately lost his father not too long ago, and he would always text me if I was doing the radio show, but also I know how he felt about exactly what you laid out there for the broadcast, especially during fall, when you can't make it to the TV, when you couldn't get out to Lincoln because, you know, you're doing the work that you need to be doing during that busy time. And it was always going to take a special voice to be that storyteller of the game, and to be able to not only describe the action of the game, but to be able to tell those stories in between. And I can safely say nobody did it better with this unique product of Nebraska football, with the points that always hit home with this fan base, and the things that need to be talked about outside of, you know, just a handoff and how many yards they got, or if the pass was complete, or if someone made the tackle. I mean, just the way that he described the passion. I said this in the post game on Saturday night. What he meant to that team in the dugout too, and that coaching staff. Obviously they were hurting because of him. And I think a lot of us will find peace in this, but I know outside of obviously his family and his wife, Amy, and his absolutely strong daughters, this athletic department, and especially that football team and baseball team, were his second family. Every year that we would get ready for a road trip, he would get so excited about not only the games, but the things that we would be doing. But the other thing is, and Ben and I are not always the biggest breakfast guys in the morning to go down and have breakfast. We would rather maybe sleep in, but that wasn't Sharpie. He'd be down there in the team, and he'd give us a status check on the vibes of the team. And he'd be having the conversations with the coaches down there, some of the players, always the parents that made the trip. And that was the other thing. He was always accessible. And there's so many young broadcasters from the College of Journalism to just maybe some random young aspiring journalist from Kansas or from Montana that somehow would get Greg's contact and reach out to him. And he would give them time. He would give them advice. He would give them access. He wanted to see young people in this profession thrive, and he wanted to do his part. And there's so many of us that are like, you know, I'm too busy. I'm worried about my own career. Or I'm worried about my own things. And Greg had a million things going on with his responsibilities. And he also made so much time for his family because that meant everything to him. But I've never heard, and I don't think he ever did, ever heard a story of him just not having time for a young journalist that was just looking for advice or looking for any type of opportunity to sit in and watch a broadcast. So, you know, there are so many, and this is, you know, there's so many stories that are going to be shared, and they need to be, you know, because it not only is this helpful for all of us, and I hope for the family too, and I think it has been, but these stories need to be told because there are just certain people that, you know, after you go through that mourning and grieving process, that you kind of live on. And I hope we do so with always exchanging a Greg Sharp memory, because he is that worthy individual that those stories need to be shared until, I know they'll be shared until, you know, my final days.
Well, you're right in his accessibility. And one of the things of the many that I appreciated about Greg Sharp, even before getting that news last April, is these were things that people loved about Greg even before the news. And to get the outpouring over the course of that year, that's another thing. I'm going to get sidetracked halfway through everything that we talk about. But the fact that he got to hear from everyone how much they appreciated him, the outpouring of support over the year, not everybody gets that. At times, we're gone, and we don't get to be there at the funeral, that type of thing. We don't get to hear people talk about those stories, talk about their appreciation. We got almost a year of that for Greg. But as I was saying, one of the things that I most appreciated about him was I'm almost 30 years his junior, and never once in a conversation did he make me feel like I wasn't worthy of having that conversation with him. You know what I mean? Where it's, I would say something and you go, you're exactly right, Caleb. And these types of things. It's like, that's a guy who had seen so much when it comes to sports and games that he called and the analysis and worked with a lot of tremendous people. And he would just throw in small things that made me go, I feel really good about myself. And all I gave you was one little thing that I researched. And Greg was so good at those types of things. You talk about, Nick, the Greg-isms and the stories and the he's going down to breakfast. What are a couple of those stories that immediately jump to mind for you?
One of my favorite things, and we were talking about this on Friday. Actually, we were talking about this on Thursday before, you know, anything had happened. We just knew that, you know, time was very precious with our friend. But he was always even though I'm not that younger than him to where I would say he was more of a father figure, older brother, but I would say a protective older brother. Our old SID that did baseball, Connor Stang, myself and Greg were out in Waco, Texas. And we were coming back from dinner and our hotel was across the way, but we had to cross two kind of busy streets. And we're just in the middle of a conversation. It was probably like 10 o'clock at night. And there's a car way off in the distance. And we're getting, you know, we're talking. And all of a sudden I get ready to cross the street and there's an arm that holds me back. Like your mom or your father would. He's like, well, hang on now, pal. And I look at him, the car's still like 50 yards away. I'm like, Greg, I got this. You know, but he just, he always had, I mean, that was just the, he was such a, such a proud father of those girls. And it even showed if you were even maybe a couple years younger than him, you know, he just, those fatherly instincts always kicked in. And, there's so many different parts of Greg on the road. And there would be times when, you know, we would go into a ballpark and we thought we were supposed to park in a certain lot, and then there would be a lot attendant there, and he would say, actually, you guys got to park over here, and it'd be like way off in the distance. And yeah. And Ben and I always got a kick out of it. It was always the, he's acknowledging it, he's gonna comply, but he doesn't understand it. So it was this always, and if you knew him, he'd always say, okay, and then he would just, and then he would comply, and then he would voice his frustration with whoever was with him as we were driving to wherever we had to park at. And yeah, it just those little Gregisms. I can say this, that without question, the best memory I had, without question, and I was thinking about this a lot, and every time I see this picture, and especially now, it'll have a lot more of an emotional impact. It was shortly after I had found out about the diagnosis, and then, you know, days later it was announced on Sports Nightly. When Nebraska was, they were playing Creighton, and last year I was doing games for Creighton, and they're playing in Lincoln, and it was probably 2 days after the announcement on Sports Nightly, and I remember seeing him, and, you know, just gave him a hug, and, you know, I tried to keep it, you know, private between he and I, and just, you know, told him I loved him, and, you know, that I knew he'd fight and get through it. And, you know, he thanked me, and you could tell he was just so bashful about that type of the words of encouragement. Not that he didn't want to hear them, and not that he didn't appreciate it, but it always went back to the fiber of who he was. It was always, how are you doing? You know, how's Jenny and Reese, you know, and want to know about the family and everything. So it was vintage Greg. So then the following week, when Nebraska was playing Indiana, actually, this would have been Mother's Day weekend, and God bless my wife, she wanted to go watch a Husker baseball game on Mother's Day, and I was like, okay, great. And so we took our 4-year-old son, and we went up in the booth and saw Greg and Ben, and there's a picture of myself holding my son with Ben on my left and Greg on my right, and, you know, that – sorry. That picture, I'll tell my son about, who knew Greg. Knew him as a, you know, as Greg and Ben. Wanted to hear Greg and Ben. Wanted to hear Greg and Ben. It was Daddy's doing the Creighton game. Greg and Ben are doing the Nebraska game. Which game do you want to listen to? Well, I want to listen to Greg and Ben, is what he would say. But, you know, I'll tell my son, when he's old enough to understand, that even the short time that he knew and got a chance to meet Greg, how Greg was always so interested in, you know, what he was doing and the new things that he was getting into and all the sports he was playing. And up until the last conversation I had with Greg, always asking about how Reese was doing. And there's going to be a time that I am able to explain to Reese about how special that man was, and how tragic it is that he didn't get to know him longer in his life.
Just a couple weeks ago, the athletic department honored Greg, which, again, one of those things about how long he was able to fight over this past year is that there were these special moments that we got to have. And the athletic department named the radio booth, Greg Sharp radio booth at Memorial Stadium. It's got the words from his call of the Kellogg to Westerkamp, Hail Mary, and so many conversations at that time were, one, spot on with putting the words to that call there. But then it became, what are your Mount Rushmore of Greg Sharp calls? And obviously, a lot of them were football calls for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But not everyone got to be in the booth as much as, say, like you and Ben, and hear a lot more of those radio calls. And thank God he was on the Big Ten tournament championship broadcast, yeah. And he was on the Wisconsin football broadcast getting back to a bowl game. And like, there are those special things that still happened over this last year. For me, it was actually a call that I didn't hear live because I was in the stadium recognizing what was happening and bawling my eyes out because I can't ever hear the call. I can't think about the call with immediately getting teary-eyed, but it's the missing punter formation.
Yeah.
And him getting to Husker Nation permission to shed a tear, and the number of people that honored that call with the news on Saturday, I thought was a perfect encapsulation of his voice being just in our heads, those calls being in our heads. And in that moment, a lot of people going to, yeah, we are going to shed a tear on this one.
Yeah, that's a great one. And I think the one that it just because of the play and the improbability and why it is forever enshrined now on the radio booth was very fitting. But I think you're right. I think there were moments that were bigger than the sport itself that Greg did such an amazing job of describing, whether it was that, whether it was Jack Hoffman in the spring game. Yeah. You know, that's another thing that Greg had, that innate ability to describe those moments that maybe we're going to be healing for people. We're going to be therapeutic for people. It goes back to what you said earlier, where you felt connected to him. You felt like a friend because of that tone in his voice, but that compassion in his voice too. For me, that there were some really good baseball calls that probably don't get the same type of attention, but for sure the Big Ten tournament. I mean, that was where, you know, I believe in a higher power, and maybe Ben and I will tell you this story before we get out of here on what happened Friday night, which I'm still in disbelief on. But you know, I believe in those things, and I think that it was meant to be for Greg to wake up that morning feeling strong and feeling good to deliver a championship call for baseball that he loves so much. And, you know, we've seen the pictures of Will and Greg on the field, and you can tell there was something very, I've never asked Will and I've never asked Greg what was said there, because that was their private moment. And you could tell it meant a lot to Greg just by the picture and the facial expression. But that call is one of the best. There was and I heard from him on Saturday, Nate Fisher, is just a tremendous person and had a heck of a senior year at Nebraska and really kind of went through a bunch of different roles for this team. And he had almost a no hitter against a very good Baylor team. And it was a weird series that we were supposed to play in Lincoln, and it got moved to Waco because of that was during the floods. And so all of a sudden Greg texts me that Monday before we're leaving, like, "Hey, can you go to Waco?" And so he and I did that series, and yeah, it was the Saturday game, where I just thought there were just so many games where he was always locked in, but there's just certain games where, even though I had to do some innings, I found myself in the best seat, just sitting next to him, listening to him describe what was going on, especially when you had things like that going on where someone was just on their game, whether it was at the plate going 5 for 5 or in Nate's case, where he threw a one hit shutout. It was a game where Nebraska obviously won, but it wasn't, you know, for a conference title or anything. It was a big win, but the way that he drove that home, and in a game that had a lot of kind of like Saturday night's game that had a lot of high drama, you know, he just did it so good. I would also throw in, when it did come to football as well, I'm glad you brought up the Wisconsin one, because that was a game where, I'll admit, even myself, I did not think it would happen for Nebraska after, you know, losing to USC. Right. And you could tell as the entire fan base exhaled and said, finally, post game, his call was, it punctuated that. And so even in some of the games that maybe didn't result into a conference title or a national championship, were he always knew the moment. He had that ability to read the collective room or audience, and knew how to drive that home. And to me, I think that that is seriously one of the more maybe underrated qualities of a broadcaster in general. And I think that that's what Greg did better than anybody I've been around.
You go back to last spring, you have the news come out, and eventually you have the Greg Sharp patches go on the hats and the team wearing them. And the first night is the Jackson Brockett right. No hitter, which, by the way, he's expected to pitch today, right?
He is. Yep. He's your starter.
So, yep. Just still all kinds of connections, but you have that no hitter against Kansas State. And then you get the news this last Saturday is when it officially comes out. Jordy Ball throws a no hitter on Saturday for the softball team, who went on an absolute tear, run ruling everybody and their mother all weekend. When you talk about, and I'm the same way, just kind of that there's a higher power and things are kind of happening, and you can see the mosaic. You can see the painting in motion. To have those kinds of moments, I think, is very beautiful. And that no-hitter at Haymarket Park last year was definitely one of those moments that you went, there is somebody looking down on all this right now.
And I believe it's because he's just a good and decent man. You know, I think these moments that you don't, I think this was said by Stuart Scott at the ESPYs, that you don't lose when you eventually succumb to cancer. You didn't lose that battle. The battle's defined on how you lived with it and how you fought. And I think those moments in time, which we now, even when it happened against Kansas State last year and in Greg's alma mater, and you know, where he really made a name for himself in broadcasting as well. I think even during that time, we're like, this is just incredible. But now you get more perspective of all of those little things from the time the diagnosis was official, you know, like waking up that morning to be strong enough to call a Big Ten tournament and sounding like Greg, you know, just wouldn't even know there was anything wrong. I think all those things, those happen, but I think they happen. I believe they happen because the way Greg lived his life, the way Greg, the kindness that he had to others, the things that we talked about, always had time for everyone. You know, even when it was okay to maybe feel sorry for yourself or to question the fairness of life and, you know, the why me, which any of us would have understood. He never did that. You know, he never did that. And anytime you would ask him how he was doing, he'd tell you, but then he would immediately want to know about you. And I don't think it was because he just didn't want to talk about it. It was because he genuinely still wanted to know about you. And he never changed. When he could have been, again, understandably so, more about himself, because that's what we were all thinking of. That just wasn't Greg. And so I feel like a lot of those moments that I'm with you that happened for a reason, I think they happen because of the man that Greg is, not because these are the things that just happen. I think you got to earn that as the type of person, the life you live. And I think Greg did it as good, if not better than anyone.
We're kind of freewheeling here. I know there are a lot of things that happened in Nebraska athletics over the weekend. Women's basketball with a loss, Britt Prince going out with an injury, Nebraska men's basketball with a 20-point comeback. That's only happened a couple of times going back almost 30 years. And Husker basketball looking at now within maybe one or two games of locking up an at-large berth. But we're going to continue to freewheel, and we're just going to kind of stay on the baseball thing here. We're going to stay on Greg Sharp. And I think that's ultimately what this episode is today, Nick. And I know we and some of this maybe is because we're professional broadcasters in the, okay, let's plan a full show. There are these things. But when it comes to Greg Sharp, he is a full show, you know, and the way everything is played out with the baseball team this weekend, this is a full show. So we're going to stay with Greg Sharp because Greg Sharp is going to stay with us. And when you look at this team, that I know I saw Ben tweeted out Friday night, which ended up having a lot of added meaning by the time the game was done and all the news had come out. But then the same thing when the team beat Vanderbilt for Sharpie. Do you get the sense that a lot of this season is going to carry that? And Gabe Swanson even talked about it with MLB Network after the game. There is a lot of it's not a little bit extra. There's a lot of bit extra for this team and what Greg Sharp meant to not just the university, not just to athletics, but him being part of that baseball program.
No doubt. And that's, there's that picture that the baseball social media group, which has done a fantastic job, they posted of that picture of Greg sitting next to Will in the dugout, and they're in the middle of an interview and they're just sharing a laugh. That's a moment captured with just the relationship that they had. Darren and Greg were on equal footing there too. Mm-hmm. That coaching staff and Ted Silva and Mike Kirby. I remember you mentioned memories, and I'm getting off track here a little bit, but you remember Mike Pritchard.
Yeah.
A very opinionated young man, very fiery guy. There'd be times, the few times I would go down to breakfast when Pritchard was on the coaching staff helping out, he'd be challenging Greg about how the football team was going to do. And Greg, being Greg, always the optimist, was, no, they're going to be really good this year. And Pritchard always being a little bit of the pessimist. He'd tell you he's being a realist, but he was a little bit more of the glass half empty when it came to certain things. Mm-hmm. Pritch, we love you. Those two would actually be going at it, and it was funny. And you know, there would be some emotion of trying to plead each other's case on it. It was funny, but you know, there was always that special bond that he had for this baseball program. I know Greg loved being in the booth for football, and I know that was his passion, but he loved baseball. He loved, because you're on the road, especially on the road, because you're having a chance to stay in one place for a handful of days, as opposed to football. You show up the night before, you do the game, then you're flying out that same day. So you don't get all of these moments. And yeah, that one right there. It's just, I love that picture. It's a snapshot of the relationship, but also Greg's genuine joy to be also the voice of Husker baseball. And I know this coaching staff feels that, appreciates that, misses Greg. These players miss Greg. I've heard from a lot of the former players that where Greg got to call their at bats, and they were in awe. You know, there's some guys that grew up in the state of Nebraska, you know, local kids that grew up in the state of Nebraska that listened to Husker baseball games. And then it was almost like a religious experience when they were finally at bat, they'd go back and listen to the game just to hear Greg announce their name and their batting average and their numbers. And, you know, so they look at Greg in awe, and they should, you know, I think everybody will do so. But it was, you know, those things I think definitely mean for Greg and for this baseball program that they are going to be synced up, not only this year, but I think going forward. I don't know how any, I know Ben and myself and anybody that's connected to this baseball program will not go to the ballpark without thinking of him, without missing him. As long as the booth allows us to, and thank goodness these last two booths have allowed us to, because they've been big enough. Ben, I think it was just a genuine kind of idea that he, I think, just wanted to. And we've gone two games in a row now where we have the empty chair in between us. And as long as, again, the booth allows us to with its space, we will have that chair. Whether physically in between us or symbolically in between us this entire season. And I can't imagine not doing it next season and however many seasons we do this.
The missing broadcaster formation.
That's right. That's right. That's right. If there was ever to be a thing, who better than in memory of Greg Sharp?
Yeah, and that's so as you guys go through, I just want to ask this really quick, and this is specific about this weekend, but Gabe Swanson's hitting on Saturday. Timmerman's toughness in a very scary moment, extremely scary moment. And then I think he was back in Omaha yesterday. He wasn't with the team. They hold up the jersey for the team picture after winning, and a blowout win yesterday, a no doubter. What have you seen from this ball club between the lines over the last few days?
Resilient. And I think we might look back at this weekend for the play on the field of, was this team so excited to get the season started because of the external expectations? And I think that they truly believe them as well, that a couple things don't go their way early on, and you get tight sometimes. And I wonder if this team, especially on the mound where Rob Childers and this pitching staff have done such a good job of bringing down that walk number and those free passes, that was a problem Friday against Irvine. Irvine, by the way, turned out to be pretty damn good themselves. But they, you know, you look at maybe just kind of feeling a little bit too much pressure, but also they know how good they can be. And when you don't have that early success in a game, I do wonder if that just it tightened them up a little bit. But the way that they responded, not only Saturday, but I don't know if enough people will give them credit the way they responded yesterday, of you win that emotional game against Vanderbilt in a game where, again, it wasn't overly pretty. You come out, you could be absolutely feeling yourselves. We just beat Vanderbilt. Oh, we got this. You go through, as I like to say, you're in Cadillac cruise mode. And all of a sudden, you're in a big hole. That was not this team. They pounced on the opportunity of going from a big win on Saturday to a chance to now all of a sudden be above 500 and take it to a team that was just, I don't know, San Diego State it was very odd the way that they approached the game. But you make no excuses. Nebraska was the better team, and they showed it. And so in a team where you had the advantage, you play to that advantage. Nebraska did. So I think those were good signs. The last 2 days looked a lot more of what I think we expect from this team. But I do wonder if Friday, if this team just not getting some of the early momentum tightened them up a little bit because of, I think they know the stakes of the season and how good the season can be if it's all put out there the way that it's supposed to be.
Before we get to our guest, Ben McLaughlin, also with the Huskers Radio Network, like you, I want to play from social media the clip that was the final call. Ben absolutely nailed it, and I hope it's been overwhelming, the number of people saying how much that call was perfect, because it really was. And here it is, the social team creatives for Nebraska baseball put it out on their Twitter. You can see it there. I've retweeted it. Here's that call with the video that they were able to get, and a little bit of MLB TV here on the front of it.
Set. Here's the pitch. Line drive towards second. Caden Brumbaugh's there. He squeezes the line drive. And on a night filled with emotion, honoring our leader, Greg Sharp, with his eyes on the diamond and his hands on our shoulders, Nebraska takes down 16th-ranked Vanderbilt, 6-4. Sharpie, that one is for you.
Just absolutely perfect in every way that it was called, and Ben joins us now. Ben, I'm sure I tagged you in something on social media on Friday night, but let me say it to you again here. Tremendous call. Thank you for that call, because I think there were a lot of Husker fans that very much appreciated that moment from you and for our friend Greg.
Yeah. You know, to be honest with you, a lot of that game was a blur. I've been telling people innings two through seven felt normal-ish. You know, once the game's happening, it was a highly competitive game and you're kind of locked into what's going on. But once it got to be about the eighth inning, you know, I started feeling my body changing. You know, it was hard to control my breathing and to just live in the moment. You just felt so much bigger than me. And it didn't feel like a normal circumstance. And to be honest with you, it took until a couple of hours, in fact, and a part of me didn't want to hear it back. I almost blacked out. You know, I had no idea what I was saying. And, you know, obviously messages were coming in about that call specifically. And I was like, I don't even really remember what I said. I just, you know, tried to encapsulate the moment. And, you know, that all day, of course, it was a night game. And so we sat with our feelings and we sat with processing the events all day. And, you know, I found myself going back and forth, like, do I prepare something to say? Do I script something out? But I had this gut feeling just from the beginning that I want it all to be organic. I don't want anything to be predetermined. I don't want any of my feelings to be typed out on a piece of paper. I just want to bear it out. I just want to open it up and just say what was on my mind and on my heart. And I think, you know, Nick, along with myself, kind of shared that same vision. And that's kind of how we approached it from that first segment on through the final out, through the end of post game, the talk with Coach Bolt. And then, of course, in typical Sharpie fashion, leads us to a victory over a ranked team. So it was a magical night. It was a magical moment. And I'm truly, truly honored to have been the one to bring that moment to Husker fans.
Ben, I was telling Caleb, and I didn't want to tell the extent of the story until you joined us. Because we did make reference to this in the broadcast in the post game. We were talking about just from the time that Greg was diagnosed, and you know, whether it was the Jackson Brockett no hitter, him feeling good enough that Sunday morning to call a Big Ten championship game with you in the tournament. You know, a lot of things that seemed like there was a higher power at work. I'd mentioned this, and I know some people maybe didn't know what I was talking about. You and I experienced something that I still don't know if we've still been talking about this the last 2 days, because we don't know if we really believe what we saw. But after the end of that call, we were coming back from break. After the end of that call, where you say, Sharpie, that one was for you, it was just our booth, and no one was in our booth except for Ben and I. There was a flicker of the lights in the booth. I'm still in awe of that. I still don't know. I still can't explain it, other than your description of his hand on our shoulders was spot on. And that, I think that was him. That was him fist pumping.
Yeah. You know, that moment's kind of a hard to articulate to anybody, let alone publicly, because man, like the timing, how it happened, like, truth be told, as it happened, I thought first and foremost, Nebraska's SID, Jared Meister, was playing a trick on us, you know, flicking the lights up and down because we won. And I looked down and he's on the field. Then I thought, oh, it's like one of those LED light shows that they do, you know, just in the stadium. And I didn't really think anything of it until about 10 seconds after the lights had stopped flickering. I look at Nick and there's tears in his eyes. And I was like, did that really happen? And he's like, yeah, that really happened. And I think it took me a good probably hour to kind of understand what it was, just because the adrenaline's going, I'm emotional. But of anything that happened in the game, that to me was the sign that I needed from him. And there's just some things in this life that can't be explained. Greg has told me before that he doesn't believe in coincidences. And so that's his way of telling me that this isn't a coincidence. And, you know, whether this story gains traction or not, I don't think Nick and I particularly care. But that was a moment he and I and Sharpie will share forever. And it was magical. I mean, it just kind of fit the theme of the whole night. And, you know, I was able to share that with his family. And obviously they're looking for any sorts of comfort that they can get right now. And I think just hearing that, you know, their husband and their father's down looking over us as they'd expect, warms them up a little bit.
Ben, we had been talking about how everyone had a relationship with Greg, And for a lot of them, it was through the radio, which is still extremely special to listen to him for almost the last couple decades. Or if you were listening to him on K-State, you got to hear him even longer. I had my relationship with Greg. Nick talked about his. You had a special one as well. And being a broadcast team and having that relationship, I know it's hard to explain because for those of us in this industry, it's a tough one when that relationship is no longer there physically, whether because of a profession change or in this instance, an unfortunate turn of events. For you, that relationship with Greg, it sounded special on the air, and that came through to us listening. And I know for you guys off the air, it was special as well.
Yeah, it sure was, you know, and I think that's why we had such good chemistry on the air, is because we knew each other so well and inside and out. We knew what got each other to smile. We knew what pissed each other off. We knew what, you know, we knew every little intricate detail of, I knew if it was windy in the booth, if he didn't have the binoculars out and his papers were blown around, just stay out of his way. Like, you know, just little weird things that you learn from people. You know, and it's hard to even really explain to people. And that's maybe for me been one of the hardest things to deal with, is how ingrained our lives were together. You know, like he's the daily phone calls in the morning. Anytime anything happens sports related, you know, I expect a text message from him. Anytime something happens on my end, you know, I've caught myself multiple times in the last few days just wanting to text him, you know, and wanting to call him and just to hear his voice one more time, to hear his thoughts about that baseball game. You know, that's been hard to deal with. But, you know, one thing that I always tell people is you don't really get to truly know somebody until you've either traveled with them or lived with them. And, you know, with baseball in particular, we're around each other more than we are our own wives, it feels like at times, playing almost 60 games a year. Baseball games in themselves, it's a whole day experience. We're there 3 hours before first pitch. The games last all day, so we're together a lot. And, you know, you just learn little things about people when you're traveling with them. And the amazing thing about Greg, and I say this just with full honesty, you know, you spend that much time with anybody and you're excited to be by yourself, you're excited to be home, or there's little things that annoy you. I never felt that with Greg once. Like, I never felt, oh, dreading, I got to share a room with him again, or I got to sit next to him on the bus for 8 hours to Minneapolis, or, man, we were together all weekend, we had Monday off, and now we have Tuesday, Wednesday, midweek games. Like, there was never a single time where I felt like I needed a break from him. And he's probably the only human that I've ever met, sorry, Nick, that I felt that way about. You know, and sometimes it's not even about the person. It's just about you wanting to be on your own or by yourself. But I never felt that with Sharpie once. And I think that's just a testament to the type of guy that he is and was. And, you know, he was just the best, the absolute best. And, man, it's just hard to even put into words, you know, what that man meant to me and to my family.
Yeah, we're on day five of a road trip right now. So Ben's there's a reason he's on the other side of the hall down here. No. And, you know, Ben, we've shared this a little bit, both on the air and obviously with each other. And I said this, I told this to you, and, you know, as you being one of my closest friends, I always talk about like the whole wedding party thing. Like if you did your wedding again, you know, what people in your life would actually now be part of your wedding compared to who was. And there's always like a couple new additions, and Ben's in that category for me. And I never would have met Ben without Greg. His orchestrating of these broadcast teams. And it wasn't because, well, this is who I want. You guys are going to have to deal with it. Greg had that ability to understand, you know, hey, these guys will get along, or these guys together will be able to call a good game. They both get baseball and, you know, all those things too. But also, hey, personality wise, I think they're gonna have a lot of fun together. And the third member of our broadcast team, and I don't want to forget about him too, David Gustafson, that'll be with us as well. You know, the first thing he asked me He texted me and said, "Hey, you think Ben'll do well with David, right?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely." And so, like, I mean, those little things about that, he wanted this to always work out, but the friendships that he was able to orchestrate too, you know, it's just kind of Greg doing his work that I think we all appreciated through the airwaves, but as a human being too, he was a guy that connected people too.
You know, and through it all, everything, I mean, obviously before this last year, but especially this last year, he always put others first and he always put our radio network first. Like, he is still worried about who's producing the game. He's worried about me getting my reads in. He's worried about, you know, taking network out cues when we're going to extra innings and not local out cues. Like, he was so with it and just so on top of it and always looking out for everybody. I mean, even until the last 2 weeks when, man, if people only knew what he had to do to get himself on the air, you know, the last couple of weeks, last month. It's because, not because he felt like he had to, it's because he wanted to. And, you know, I can say this now because he's not here to yell at me, but I had to tell him, like, dude, you need to stop. Like, he would always put himself in the back burner and just always do what was necessary to make our network and everybody's lives easier up until the very end. And, you know, that's just one of the million reasons why he is who he is and why we all love him so much. You know, he just had that ability to make every single person feel important, every single person feel valued, every single person feel loved. I mean, he brought Damon in with open arms and, you know, on the football side of things, that wasn't an easy transition for him, I'm sure. But, you know, through one game, you know, we're like, okay, this is it. This is the new norm. And, you know, we welcomed Damon in and made him feel like one of us and family. And, you know, that's because of Greg. He allowed everybody to feel that way. And, man, he was just a magical human. And I think anybody that knew him would echo that sentiment.
And I know for some people, maybe this is a little bit too inside baseball, but there's what happens with you guys at the network. And then there's an extra piece that happens before it gets to the listeners, unless they're listening on the Huskers app, which is always encouraged as well. There's the affiliates. And I was fortunate enough to work on that end for about 5 years with KLIN, always available. I still have them. I know you guys have probably done this over the last couple of days too. You look through your messages and the interactions, and I still have the messages of, all right, well, there's men's basketball, women's basketball, and baseball. Where are we going to be on Sunday? and it's okay. Well, we're going to move you guys here. Great. Network wanted to know. All right, cool. And like he wanted to be the one to handle so many of those things, and it was appreciated on our end, because we knew that meant our product was appreciated from the network. Like, it was such a good relationship at all times. And it really didn't matter who was in charge, who owned the contract, what it was. Greg was the face of what is Huskers Radio Network. Real quick, because we've got just a couple minutes left and we're trying to stay somewhat consistent, even though we've blown out the entire show today, Ben, for good reason with Greg Sharp in baseball. For you, is there a memory that jumps to mind as one of your favorites, whether you were in the booth with him or not, on just a call from Greg over the years?
Well, it's amplified by about a million now, but that Big Ten championship's hard to beat. You know, there's been so many moments with him that I've just loved so much, and so many of those weird things, almost like a breakup. You know, so many things remind me of him just on a daily basis. Anytime I see the words lunch special, I'm going to think of him. Just so many weird things. But, man, I don't know if we have time for this story, but I'm going to make it fast. So, Big Ten championship, he shows up. He's not feeling well. Amy and him come inside because I want my wife and my daughter to see him. And something super simple, but we know our equipment's going to get super hot because the sun's beaming in on the field. And my daughter runs upstairs to get Greg her pink mini towel to cover the equipment so it doesn't get too hot. And just to see that interaction between my 4-year-old daughter and Greg, just meant the absolute world. And he soldiered on. He got through that game and was exhausted. He didn't want to go down and see the team, but I'm like, you got to go. You got to go down there and see the team. And he got that embrace with Will that's been captured via photo and just in tears on the side. And we got to celebrate with the boys and some of the parents that were there. And that drive home that we had was just magical. I gave him a ride home. And even though I blew a tire out on the interstate, it was wonderful. And that game will mean so much to me, not just because of the result, but knowing that was the last time we shared a headset together.
Well, Ben, I really appreciate you jumping on, sharing some of those memories, sharing your thoughts. Nick, obviously, we do this every Monday and Thursday now at 9 a.m., but thank you for being so open with all of that. I know Greg appreciated his time with you guys. We have appreciated getting to hear from you guys over the last few days with those games for Husker baseball. Looking forward to hearing from you guys again this afternoon and seeing where the heck this season leads. So, again, to both to Ben and Nick, thank you guys so much for today.
Thank you so much. And, again, for all the support from you and everybody else, it means the world and all the messages. We read all of them. So thank you all so much.
Husker baseball this afternoon. Taking on Grand Canyon. Nick and I will be back Thursday, 9 a.m. right here on the Husker Max YouTube page. Go Big Red.